so. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are issues when you do severe wrong in the church, and you're bringing reproach upon the church, and you're doing certain things, you have to be dealt with. It's for not, remember I said earlier, you know, sometimes it's not just for you, but for the entire what? Organism. The church is a corporate living body. Right? Things can affect the entire church. So we have to take steps. Now let us look at 1 Corinthians 5. I'm going to be reading some very selected verses from this passage. This passage of scripture in Corinth. Corinthians is known as the problem church. And had a lot of challenges. And Paul had to deal with certain things. And it shows us what we are not to do and what we are to do. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? So in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, Paul says, it is reported commonly. That means it was common language, common knowledge, sorry, among many people. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. No, he's not going to stop at fornication, you know. Listen carefully, fornication, that's the only sin. Further down in the passage, he's going to talk about other sins that warrant discipline to be taken out. Okay? But this was an actual case that Paul had to deal with in the honey. So he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, you know, the Christians. Why did he say among you? Among you, it's so strange. Isn't that all of them commit the fornication? He said, it's among you. So that's what, there's a kind of responsibility that they seem to have been shirking. Am I right, Brother Michel? So when you don't carry out church discipline, you know, a lot of us will still be held responsible. So that's why I say it has a lot of implications. So it says, among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So they were doing, you know, and there was no action being taken against the person. And what Paul says, instead of taking actions, he said in verse 2, and you are what? Puffed up. And have not rather mourned that you have done this. You need to take away the person from among you. So instead of mourning, they were actually puffed up. Nothing is being done. No, the application is that we have to look within ourselves. Each congregation of the Church of Christ. Not just this one. Each congregation. And wherever we see that we are lapsing in certain areas, we need to be firmer. And take the action, because it can just get worse and worse, you know. So he says now in verse 3. I'm not going to read all of the verses. I'm going to jump some to some verses. He says, verse 6, you're glorying. That's the Christians in Corinth, you know. Your glorying is not good. Paul just called a spade a spade. He didn't say, you know, you may be. Nowadays, we like to use what we call diplomatic language. The world affects the church, you know. We're supposed to influence, but a lot of times, their way of thinking affects each of us as members of the church. When I say church, I talk about each of us as members of the church. So the church, the world now has a tendency to say, be diplomatic. You know? Don't be so brutal in your speech. You know? Be a little more softer. Let me give you an example. On the radio, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'll just give you an example. A lady came on the radio, you know, how athletes are performing now. And she was most upset with sport commentators because they said that, say for example, you and Blake failed to make it. They would say, you and Blake failed to make it to the next round. She was very upset that they used the word failed to make it. Now the man said to her, must be they removed the word failed from the English language dictionary. So the world doesn't want, the world likes to soften things, you know. You know, she said, don't say fail, say something else. Fail is so negative. We don't want to say, he didn't say, you and Blake was a failure, you know. The reporter didn't say that, he's only reporting. that he failed to get to the next round. You say it's a failure. So she took you know, said no. And she was very firm on that. I'm just using that example to show where the world is moving. The world is moving towards making everybody feel comfortable. If a church is so comfortable, that means there's something we're not doing right. Because, you know, you're so comfortable, so nobody's feelings must be hurt. Nobody must feel bad. Everybody must feel just happy and nice and comfortable. And the only time that happens, when your life is comfortable, so you know, it means you're not doing much work for Christ, you know, because the persecution will come. So you find that a year passed, a few months passed, and everything just comfortable for you. Take stock. But the same thing in the church, you know, if everything just comfortable, it might very well mean that there are people in the church that we need to take action with or on, and we have probably not done so. So everything is just comfortable. You get the point I'm saying? Because let's be brutally honest. When you're taking action, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. It is not pleasant. So the human nature too will want to shy away from it. Because you don't want to really upset people. But the Bible is saying something different. The Bible is saying we are helping people when we take action. We're not there to upset them just upset them for upset's sake, you know. Is to make them reflect on a higher thing. If they stop at the upset, can't help it, but they are supposed to reflect. You get what I'm saying here? So that's what Paul is saying here. Your glorying is not good. Then he says, he says something that our Lord said. He says, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Just some simple things can lead to bigger problems in the church if left untreated. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let me give an example again from the classroom. In some classrooms, because I can only use what I am used to, sorry about that. But in classrooms, sometimes you have a bully. One or two bullies, and they will pick on the softer students. Now, if you allow that to happen, and you let the first incident go, and you just turn your head the other way as if you didn't see anything happen, and the second, no, I'm not going to make the first incident go once I'm aware of it. Because it will blow up eventually to even physical violence against that child, to even death in the classroom. And we have seen a lot of physical violence in our classroom. Perhaps it could have been cut in the bud if it was treated earlier, Brother Bean. But it's allowed to fester and get out of control. You understand what I'm saying, church? So we can't just allow things to be like that. And I say we do it as a congregation here now. But that's the story, the principle. Then it goes on now in verse 7. He says, purge out the old leaven, that he may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Then there's a colon now to explain what he means further. He said, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Even when the discipline is being taken, it's being taken in the spirit of sincerity and truth, not in the spirit of malice and wickedness. That is why, you know, there is a difference between a parent beating a child mercilessly in anger. That big difference than with a parent disciplining a child. It's a big difference. So even in the disciplining in the church, there is a way we must still do it. You understand? We don't have anything personal against the person. But we must still do it with sincerity and truth. Because bear in mind what Christ says. He says further, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to accompany fornicators, but eager to extend it now. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must he needs go out of the world. So he's saying with the world, we still have to have some kind of communication with them. That would be like the unbelievers, you know. So you see right there, we know the way we treat the unbelievers with a person who was already in the church and do something terrible to be reproached in the church is different, you know.
That's right.
Because we still have to still communicate with the unbelievers. But listen what Paul says here now. He says, but it's a contrast now, you know. A contrast in verse 11. I want everybody to be following me. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be, listen now, it's not that a person does sin on and off. But the verb be means existence, a state of being. So he says, yes, like a practice, a way of life. So the person with a brother now, he says, no, if any man that is called a brother be, that be is an important word, be a fornicator. Is now known as a fornicator. He is now a fornicator. His state of being now is a fornicator. He's not a trying brother now, you know, but he's now outright a fornicator. That's why I use the word be a fornicator. Be a fornicator, but he didn't stop a fornicator now. If I say it was archobitus, how do we assess that? That's why we need to have studies over other places. Or an idolater? Or a railer? Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, do not what? Not even eat. The difference now between how he says it here, with how he treats the unbeliever, is not the exact same thing. That's why now, let's look at the application. That's why, so we have church dinner. We still allow the, am I right, Brother Richard? The person who is to still come and have the meal. But the person is out of what? Fellowship, do not come and have the meal. The principle is right here, you know. Is that? But I'm sure they got the principle, you know. The principle is right here. The principle is right here. Then he says in verse 12, for what am I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judgeth. God expects us to do some assessment within. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So that church discipline, now, as I say, it has different levels, you know. And we will have a more extended discussion. Because Christ talked about it as well. It deals with the matter first, private. Am I right, Brother Michel? Then you probably bring another person with you. And then when it can't be resolved, then you make it public. So you have different levels of discipline. And then you have, if a person is just not in worship at all for months and years, and you don't know, the person wasn't going to know worship at all in the Church of Christ, and the person just turned up, so it's not just huggy-huggy same way, you know.
Amen. Amen.
There are certain steps the person must still take. And if a person wasn't aware of the steps and a disciplinary action is taken against the person must still inquire now. And the person, the attitude the person should have now, why was that disciplinary action taken against me? And seek to find out. Not just to stay at the state of embarrassment. As I said to you, it is not nice to discipline a person at times, but it still has to be done.
Amen.
Because if it is not done, the person would believe that everything is okay with their soul. Salvation is fine. To leave church for years and just come back and you are in fellowship again. Without acknowledging that you're absent for months and years. And then we know, brothers and sisters, we must be more aware. We need to have a sense of awareness of these things. We can't leave it alone, just the leadership alone. No. We also must be aware of people who are really not in fellowship. Put it that way. We need to be aware so that we can better help such persons. Because if the person see now that many persons are saying to them, no. The standard is there. They won't just take it on a personal level, just one person talking to them out of the hundreds in the church. No. We need to be more aware of certain things. Because the Bible addresses it, you know. Is that the Bible will address it? Is that the Bible is silent on it and we make up our own rules for Patrick City? No. You know where the next thing lies again to? I tell Brother Charles why we need to, the lectureship that we have need to discuss these things. The floating members from one place to the next, from one church. You don't know which church the person is a member of. And then when something comes, there's a big problem.
That's right.
Big problem, you know, at a certain stage, you know. Because the person don't know, are you a member of Independence City? Are you a member of Mona? No, I'm a member of Patrick City. Because when the person flows, the person can do anything that time. Because the person can come to you and say, no man, I'm going to Mona. And Mona only sees them once every 6 months. Not exaggerated, but just to show you the point. But they still can say, I go to Mona. Because they don't really tell her, like, technically. They go to Mona, yes. But once every 6 months. No. Everything would fall down. You can't run the church, Christ church. You know, our church, in that sense, you know, not a party shop. It's a church of Christ. It's a body of Christ. It's not a party shop. You know what the church party shop is? And even the party shops are run efficiently these days, because you see where the party shop at TSC very efficiently. No, man, we have to. So, Brother Michel, I would love for you. Perhaps on Wednesday night or so. As I say, I just introduce it for a point of discussion. People need to know what happens when, for example, you withhold communion for somebody. What is that saying to them? Why should it be done? Under what condition is it done? Things like that. When you say to them that you can't come to the church dinner, suppose they do come to the church dinner. You know, there are things that will happen. Actual things. How do you address it? How do you deal with it? You know, so in the Church of Christ, we have to do things Christ's way, in every way. In every way, we do things the way Christ and his apostles set it out. We don't do it the way we set it out. Because we would be doing the person wrong, the person of the fellowship, and we just give them the communion, sir.
That's right. That's right.
The unleavened bread and the food of the vine.
That's right.
And we know.
That's right. That's right.
We can say to the person, we don't speak to all the saying, say to the person, I need to speak to you afterwards. You know, I need to speak to you afterwards. But you can't just give so because. Communion is a very important aspect of worship.
Amen.
So you'll be doing a greater evil. Say you don't want to embarrass the person. No, I'm not to embarrass men. You're trying to help the person. You understand? The same way you help your child when you discipline your child. The same way the teacher help the student when they discipline the student. The student don't like it when they get suspension from school. They don't like it. Or you tell them to write lines. They don't like it. But it helps them. If I ever show you on my cell phone here, how many students And these are the students who I have had to deal with harshly. And every Teacher's Day and Father's Day, I get messages on my phone. Thank you for what you have done for me. It's on my phone right now. I can show it after show. I can show it to you. Happy Father's Day, Mr. Gilbert. The baddest. And the teacher allowed them to do what they wanted to do. Then remember those teachers. And that's the only way I get results that I want. If you want results for this church to grow and expand, you have to do these things. They're not pleasant, and it takes courage, because the backlash is going to come. And sometimes the backlash comes from the person you least expect it to come from. That's the time it can be very discouraging. But you still have to take the stand. You know? So I want you, I hope this lesson helped you somewhat and aroused your interest in studying this topic more of church discipline. And I hope, Brother Mitchell, I would love for you to do a Wednesday night on it, even one or two, probably a few months from now or so, because I think it is needed. Thank you very much.